It's episode 77 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. So I realized something, Sterlock.
What's that?
I missed an opportunity last episode. I missed a huge opportunity in terms of the name of the show and a joke I could have made with the last episode. The last episode was episode 76. Why the heck did I not call it episode Fallout 76?
Oh, man.
Because one of our biggest stories was the Bethesda acquisition.
Yeah, oh my god.
Why did I not do that?
Oh. Yeah, really?
Dang! I'm losing it, apparently.
I'm
losing my powers. Oh, well, anyway, welcome to episode 77.
I had to log into Anchor, so that's why it took a bit. Yeah.
Hey, you had to do what I had to do last week, so that's all
good.
Welcome, everybody. And, what a show we have for you today. An unexpected, at least as of the last episode, we told you last week that we didn't know what to expect for next week. You know, there was no presentation scheduled. Of course, shortly after we recorded that episode, Square Enix announced they were doing a presentation today, and they did that, and now we're going to cover it. So, yay that.
Yay.
There's also a bunch of other stuff to talk about, and, you know, some of it's good, some of it's, but it's all there. It's all good stuff. The person we're trying to schedule for a guest, quick update on that, it's still happening. I promise, it's still happening. This person is also going through a little bit of schedule shifting themselves, so you know, it's tough. It's you know, the bigger the person you try to schedule, the tougher it gets.
Yep.
But it is still happening. I can promise you that. All right, but we have a lot to talk about, including a super cool presentation that just happened. So let's get into it with some gaming news. Welcome to Gaming News. I don't know what that was for. I just did. All right. So we begin Gaming News this week with a complete rundown of the presentation, the Square X presentation. I actually called it the Square X presentation rundown before I knew that the actual name of the presentation was called Square Enix Presents.
There you go.
So I was pretty close.
Yep.
Pretty close. All right. So Square Enix Presents. Apparently this is the first of many. It's basically, honestly, essentially, it's Nintendo Direct for Square games. So, you know, that's fine, really.
I mean, Nintendo setting trends. I mean, way back.
Now PlayStation's doing it. Now Square Enix is doing it. You know, it's just, it's a format that works, though.
Like, it is. It's a good format. I like it.
Especially in today's times.
Yeah.
You know, it works. All right. So, the first thing I wrote down is, this presentation is hosted by Matt Mercer. Therefore, this presentation automatically wins.
Yep.
Matt Mercer was actually super happy to be the host. I saw a tweet from him that said that he was a lifelong Square Enix fan. He's been in a couple of recent Final Fantasy games. And, he was super happy to do it. So.
Yep.
Matt Mercer is awesome!
Yay!
Okay. They open up with an Outriders trailer and a kind of deep dive into Outriders. Now, the Outriders demo has been out for a while now. And thanks to Misty, I've gotten a chance to listen to her play the Outriders demo. Here's what I think. I'm kind of going to give you my impressions of the demo rather than the trailer, because the trailer is less than the demo. you know, and we didn't really talk about the demo when it was out. So, here's what I think. I think Outriders is pretty cool. I think the concept is neat, where you're migrating to a different planet because we kind of destroyed Earth. We find a different planet, and we're super successful, and we're super happy about that, except the planet hates us and is trying to kill us. So, oops. We messed up.
Yep.
So we're kind of in the same terrible situation we were in on Earth on this new planet. So that's kind of the premise of Outriders, at least part of it. And That's cool. The voice acting is pretty much really, really good. From what I was able to hear in the demo, pretty much all the way through, it was pretty good. Audio design seems really good. I like the effects on the attacks, especially the pyromancer effects. Really good. But there's a weird quirk that I don't think would have struck me as weird if Outriders had been made 5 or 6 years ago. But now that it's modern times, now that it's today, is weird. So hear me out here. Outriders does a thing that older games used to do, where when you go from gameplay to a cutscene, there's a very definite fade out from one and fade into the other. So it's a stop transition. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like, and it's funny. This is something that you might not think about, but honestly, you don't see this a lot, anymore. It's
yeah, things are pretty seamless.
Yeah, in a lot of modern games, the cutscene flow is just smooth.
Yeah,
you're just in a cutscene. Not in Outriders. It goes from gameplay, fades out, goes into a cutscene, fades out of that, then goes back to gameplay. Now, the devs were actually asked about this, and they gave a reason for it. But I'll be honest, I don't like the reason either. because I don't think it's a good one. They said the reason for doing that, and the reason they justified this with the fact that there's also a bunch of little tiny cutscenes. So like every time you open a door, there's a cutscene, which means you get the fade out, then the cutscene, then the fade in.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird, but they justified that and all the fade outs and everything with the fact that since this is a 3-player co-op game, they want to make sure everyone is on the same page and knows where they're going. Because if someone goes through a door to a new area, the others are teleported to them. So they want to make sure everyone knows where they're going, right? I don't agree with this. Because here's the thing. Look at a game like Borderlands. Borderlands is a 4-player co-op game.
Yep, it doesn't do that.
Borderlands, number one, has giant, giant maps, like giant areas. So when you're going just through a single door in the same area, it's not going to summon the other players to you. The other players can do whatever they want in that same area. When you go to a major new area, yes, there is a countdown, and yes, there is a cutaway after the countdown because it has to load the next area, but that's the only reason, you know?
Yeah.
This is just, they need to show a cutscene for not just for like big transitions, for every single door, and yeah, every player is going to be teleported to every room.
Ugh.
So
I feel like I would be annoyed by that. Getting
I feel like I would be too. Like, wait, let me just get this loot over here that was dropped. Hey, wait, no, wait.
Yeah, like
the party leaders went through a door, so now I'm stuck fighting in the next.
Yeah,
room, you know?
Yeah, I don't like that. That's kind of.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't hate the game though. Like the demo was fun to listen to. The story is good. The writing seems okay at least. I was into it, but that I don't know. That kind of put me off a little bit. But anyway. They did a trailer. They did a deep dive for Outriders, talking about the different classes: the pyromancer, the technomancer, the trickster, and the big combat one, the tank. I believe they're called the tank. Yeah. So that's basically that. They did equipment breakdowns, like crafting stuff, and you know all the stuff you can expect from a shooter RPG, like like your Borderlandses and your Anthems. Yep. In fact, one of the things I said to Misty, the cutscene thing aside, Outriders may turn out to be fine, and it may be Anthem done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Unfortunately, Anthem has been canceled. Well, not canceled, yep. But
pretty much
left. Pretty might as well be canceled.
It's probably not going to be around much longer.
By proclaiming they're leaving it as is, they basically killed it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Oh, yeah. I did want to mention that Outriders is being developed by a team called People Can Fly, which is a team composed of former Epic developers, including people that have worked on games like Bulletstorm, which is a very popular shooter, and a much, 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 much more popular shooter, Gears of War. So there are some talented folks working on Outriders. So, you know, for what it's worth, if that sort of thing matters to you, then there you go.
Very cool.
Indeed. Okay. Then we got a bunch of Tomb Raider news. We have a Tomb Raider animated series on Netflix. How do you feel about this, Sherlock?
I don't know. I'm sort of ambivalent because I just haven't really followed the Tomb Raider games.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
That much.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's cool. That's there.
Yeah, but yeah. I'll probably watch it because I watch everything. Let's
yeah.
face it. let's be honest. I watch everything.
Yep.
All right. There's.
I'm
also...
sure it'll be good, and you know it's gonna have audio description because.
Oh Netflix. Yeah, you know it is. Yeah, because Netflix. Whereas with HBO Max, we're just not sure.
Yep.
You know HBO Max, run out of time. I know this is not an HBO Max podcast, but I'm just saying. Run out of time, guys.
Yep.
Haven't heard hide nor hair of audio description yet.
By the way, Max. I know it has absolutely nothing to do with the. I am so annoyed
with
by this WWE.
Oh, the network, the WWE
Peacock
network.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
On an inaccessible platform.
On an inaccessible platform. Well, is it an accessible platform? Because I haven't.
I've tried it. The app is not great.
Oh, fun.
It is not great. Neither is their web player.
Oh, cool.
But I have spoken to someone who has said that they have heard from NBC who are claiming that accessibility actually has always been in the works for Peacock, but was delayed because of COVID. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I hope so. Because
the claim is that yes, it is going to happen, and so is audio description on Peacock. So I don't know.
Well, there's more bad news about the network stuff.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I heard. I was looking because I felt like being in a bad mood. Apparently,
okay, all right.
So like, all right. Do you, I want like details about this network stuff? Like, is the archival stuff going with it? And apparently it's going to be there, but
yeah, it's going to be there.
It's not going to be all there until August.
Oh, they're doing it over time. Oh.
Yeah. Which is like, it's so stupid. Plus,
that actually, that is kind of stupid, but that does explain why they did the deal. So if you are willing to do the switch, you can get a cheaper rate on Peacock for 4 months. That's probably why they did that.
Plus they're downgrading the fuck out of the player. Matchmarkers are going away.
I kind of thought
that
would happen.
Those were so fucking
those were great. Yeah, those were great. But I kind of thought as soon as I heard it was going to Peacock, I kind of thought that would happen.
So now we have just this massive contingent, because I was looking on the network Reddit. There's a massive contingent of people wanting to figure out how to get foreign accounts to keep their network.
Wow.
Because this is a U.S. only
yeah.
deal.
Yeah, that's
network
that's
is around for everybody else, but the
yep.
fucking U.S. Like,
yep,
it's so
true.
Stupid.
It is.
So
it
stupid.
Is. Yeah, it's all bad. It's all
it,
bad.
It really pisses me off.
But at the very least, if they actually do accessibility and audio description, I can watch the Stephen King adaptation of Mr. Mercedes.
Yay.
Yay. All right.
Anyway. Sorry. But
so,
really...
Tomb Raider animated series, going to be audio described. You know it.
Yay.
It's going to be on Netflix. They're also doing crossovers with Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which makes sense, and Final Fantasy Exvius, which... doesn't?
Yeah. I don't think that thing was still being developed, but I guess it is. I mean,
yeah.
Record Keeper
sure.
still is, and
yeah.
And,
isn't Record Keeper unofficial, though? Like, is that actually a Square
oh,
developed
no.
thing? It's official? Oh, okay.
It's. I mean, like, Square themselves don't make it, but, like, Tetsuya Nomura does work on it, on the art.
Okay.
On
okay.
the art stuff. So, yeah.
So it's considered official.
Yep.
That's nice. I actually thought it was a very unofficial thing that they were lucky
oh, no.
to have.
Nope.
Okay.
This is a Square sanctioned thing.
Okay, cool. So Exvius, Lara Croft is going to be in it. Sure.
I wish Exvius was playable because, man, the music and sound in that game are great.
But I haven't given you the best news yet, Sherlock. Oh no. You see, all those crossovers, they're nothing compared to The Cookbook.
The Cookbook.
Have you ever thought to yourself, man, I want to make food the way Lara Croft makes it out in the jungles of wherever while searching for the ancient mummy head of whoever?
Right? I mean,
if you have,
all the time.
If you are one of those lucky people, prepare yourself for the Tomb Raider cookbook.
That seems like, it's funny because like stuff like that, like weird novelty things like that, have been a thing in Japan for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, this is, I feel like one of the first times weird stuff like that has come here.
Oh, there's multiple companies doing this now. Destiny did it. Misty has the Destiny cookbook.
Destiny made a cookbook.
Yeah, I got her the Destiny cookbook for her birthday this past year. Yep. All the things you can get in the holiday festival, there are actual recipes for them in the Destiny cookbook.
That's cool.
Like chocolate ship cookies, for instance. And right. Chocolate moats, you know, because you bank moats during Gambit matches.
Oh,
chocolate
yeah.
Moats. There you go. And more in the Destiny cookbook. But also, Postmates did a don't cookbook. Did you hear about that? Yeah, Postmates released a thing online that you could actually purchase called the Don't Cookbook. It's a real thing.
Okay.
You know, because they're Postmates. They want you to order food.
Yeah.
So it's a don't cookbook. I imagine it's literally just like, here's, like, you want pizza? Here's a good pizza place. I don't know.
Okay. Sure.
I don't know. But it was a real thing. And they were even doing a sweepstakes for giveaways of the don't cookbook. So, yeah, it's a real thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's the whole trend of cookbooks for different platforms or like entertainment mediums is coming along.
I didn't know this was a regular thing.
Oh yeah, it is now. It's starting to be one.
That's pretty funny.
But don't worry, we're not done. let's see. We also have the Tomb Raider Definitive Survival Bundle. That is coming sometime later. We don't know exactly when. But Definitive Survival Bundle is going to be the complete trilogy in like a kind of a remaster collection type dealy. So it's just the reboot trilogy though, to be clear, not the original. So that's the thing. Also, just recently, as of season 6 of Fortnite Chapter 2, Lara Croft actually has been in Fortnite for the past few days for the season. She showed up in the cinematic opening that you actually got to play. It was actually really cool. Fortnite did a really cool thing. It's kind of a tangent, but I want to talk about it because it was really neat. So usually when a new season of Fortnite starts, you watch a video that shows you like the lore, the Fortnite lore that's happening, that is the reason for the things in the season. This time, you kind of watch a video, but then you actually play out a mission as the Fortnite character Jonesy. actually, you're not playing as Jonesy. It's your character. You're alongside Jonesy. It's a single player opening thing. It's like a cinematic, story driven opening thing that introduces you to the season.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and Lara Croft showed up in that opening thing that you were playing along with.
Nice.
So Fortnite just showing off their tech again, basically.
Yeah, really.
I mean, look, Jonesy is now officially voiced by Troy Baker.
He didn't have
a voice before.
Yay!
Now he's Troy Baker.
Troy Baker.
What the heck? He does a really great job. Of course he does. Troy Baker.
And Troy Baker is always good.
Yeah, but yeah, there you go. So if you haven't played Fortnite Season 6 yet, and you open it up, you're going to be in a single player adventure with Jonesy for about 10-15 minutes. It's a short mission, but you know it's cool. But like what happens during it is neat. But yeah, so she's been in Tomb Raider for a few days. But as of next week, apparently, they are bringing Croft Manor to Fortnite Creative Mode as a playable adventure. So you can go into Croft Manor and apparently explore it, and they might have some quests you can do there.
Cool.
For funsies, and you know, there you go. I do like that. I like the use of creative mode in this stuff. So, I think that's it for Tomb Raider. Yes, that's coming next week. Croft Manor's next week. Okay. Then there was a mobile games montage. You know, there it's pretty typical of these presentations when there is a montage of a publisher showing off their mobile games. Did they give you no audio from the games themselves? So we have no idea what it was. It was just music to me. But they're like, a bunch of characters you love are coming to mobile. Check it out. And then I was like, guitar. All right. So mobile games montage. I have no idea what happened during that. But, you know, mobile games. Next up is an interesting collaboration between Square Enix and the developer Taito, who I guess is an old school.
They're one of the very original.
One of the original
developers. Yeah. They were the guys that made Space Invaders.
Right. So speaking of Space Invaders, Square has partnered with them to create a new Space Invaders game. It's still Space Invaders, but now it's on mobile and it's augmented reality. So you'll be space invading, or you'll be defeating Space Invaders wherever you physically are.
There you go.
So there you go.
Your space will be invaded.
Yeah, your space will be invaded. How did the aliens get into my room, man? I don't understand. But I think it's cool. Yeah. You know, probably not playable by the blind, but I think it's cool. And they showed that there was going to be more Taito collaborations as well. So it seemed like
quite a few, including
it sounded like at least like
including
three,
including Bubble Bobble. I heard Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble, yeah, Bubble Bobble was one of them, yeah. So it looks like a bunch of things are going to be resurrected, like old arcade style stuff as augmented reality experiences. So you know that's cool. I respect that. I like the idea of augmented reality. I really do think that there are ways to do augmented reality for blind people. I think that can be done, but it just hasn't been explored very widely yet.
Yeah.
I think the reason what made me realize that it was possible was the thing that Lego is doing with their AR software, where if you aim your phone that has this on it, if you aim your phone at a completed Lego set, if you personally build a Lego set and then aim your phone at that Lego set, it'll appear on your phone screen, then come to life as if it was real.
Cool.
So I think that's the coolest thing. Like that to me is how it could be like an idea of how it could be used for blind people. Apply it to a physical object first, something that we can feel.
Yep.
And then you find a way to use that, you know? So anyway, just my ramblings on AR.
Yep.
But I like AR as a concept, so it's fun to talk about. All right. Next up. Here is a thing that surprised me because I was not expecting it. I knew this was going to happen. I just didn't know it was going to happen today, but apparently I was uninformed. Because Marvel's Avengers, that game that isn't doing well, unfortunately.
And they...
However...
Boy, and they fucked it up even more like last week or the week before when they we're gonna do the exact opposite of the thing we need to do, and we're gonna slow down progression.
We're gonna slow down progression and make you have to work harder to level up and everything, and then we're not gonna answer any questions about it.
Like, what? Hey.
So they've made mistakes. However, today was not one of them. I will say that today was not one of them because. Unbeknownst to, I think, I feel like I wasn't the only one. I feel like they just didn't announce this until today.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. The PS5 upgrade for Marvel's Avengers came out today.
Yeah, they stealth
dropped it. It is now officially out. They stealth dropped it, yeah. But not only that, Hawkeye also came out today. So the cast is enlarging, so is the story. Because every time they...
I think we knew Hawkeye was coming, but...
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay,
yeah.
My bad then. I mean, I knew he was coming. I just didn't know it was all going to be today. So the cast is enlarging, which means the story is growing because they do they do expand the story every time there's a new cast member. That's the model they're using. So there's more story here, and Hawkeye is in, and PS5 upgrade is out. It is now confirmed, by the way, that PS5 players that get the upgrade can still play with PS4 players who don't have PS5s yet. So they do have cross-gen matchmaking, so that's nice. And then they did a very smart thing. This is actually the reason, not even the upgrade in Hawkeye. The reason I feel like today was a good move on the Avengers part was after all that, because they did a glimpse at upcoming content, and that glimpse was Black Panther. Yep. Black Panther is going to be the next hero released into Marvel's Avengers, and I saw the response on Twitter to this, and that's why I'm saying it's a positive move. Yep. People are super happy about it. They say he looks great. I saw someone say, dang it, Square. Why'd you have to release Black Panther? Now you make me want to actually buy Marvel's Avengers. Someone who apparently didn't have it before now wants it because Black Panther's going to be in it. Great move on their part. I mean, yes, they have a lot to work on, but they aren't doing everything wrong. And here's the thing, and I'm going to say, I probably said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I don't think Marvel's Avengers sucks.
No.
I think the story of Marvel's Avengers is very well told. The voice acting is spot on, too. It's great. It's really good. And hey, Ashley Burch is Kate Bishop, which is cool. You know? Yay. I mean, there's a lot of known voices in the cast, but but it's really good. It's I think it's really solid. And maybe I would think it sucked if I was playing it and I had to deal with the grind. Maybe then I would think it sucked, but I don't really have a personal problem with it. I like the story. I like the audio design for the different characters. You can tell who's attacking because they have different sounds for their attacks. You know, I like all that stuff.
Hey, I don't mind a grind. So, I grind it out like because it's double experience day and night manager. So last night I grinded out like 30 levels.
Yeah, man. Oh man, I wish I always forget. That's my problem. I always forget that night manager changes over, not on my time zone. Like it's like 6 o'clock or something when it changes over. So I could have done that same thing, but I didn't. I didn't do it. I should have done it. All right. Blah, blah. But yes, Avengers stuff's coming up. I'm still kind of wondering about what's happening with Spider-Man though, because Spider-Man was promised to PlayStation owners, and he's not out yet. Yeah, so
that's interesting.
My theory on this is that Spider-Man is going to be last in terms of release time.
Yeah, probably.
Because here's why I think that. Because since he's exclusive to the PlayStation the PlayStation platform, they're not going to want to attach a whole lot of story to him. Because if you attach story to him, then that's story other people can't play. So I'm guessing he's going to be last. There's going to be little to no story attached to him.
Yep.
Probably just an intro for the character and nothing that furthers the full, like the overall experience. Yeah. Like there'll be a little bit of story like, hi, I'm Spider-Man. Here you're doing a mission for me right now. And then you're done.
Yep.
All right. So next thing is a game called Balan Underworld.
This looks interesting.
It seemed like a co-op RPG. That's the impression I got. It seemed like very, very heavily implying two players combining of powers to bring happiness back to a world. And I like the music too. I like the music. The music seemed good. Seems good. Don't know much about it though. It was kind of an introduction to the game. So that's about all I have. And now the main event, this is weird. I consider this the main event by a long shot. It was definitely the longest segment of the show. But at the same time, it was also not the last thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's the main event, but it's also not the last thing. Weird. Ladies and gentlemen, Life is Strange. True Colors.
Yep.
It's a new Life is Strange game, and it sounds amazing. I mean, I've always liked Life is Strange. I've been attached to that series ever since it came out on the first one came out. Misty has played the entire first game for me, and she has played two of the three episodes of Life is Strange Before the Storm, so we need to finish that. We haven't played Life is Strange Season 2 yet, but we're going to play that too. But nevertheless, I've still always loved them. I like the way that they work. They are kind of like Telltale games, but they're also kind of not. There are some philosophies that the Life is Strange games use that Telltale games typically didn't use. The episodes, in my opinion, tend to be a little longer on Life is Strange games, the individual episodes. And they use more, I would say, more game-like mechanics than some Telltale games tend to use. Like Max in Life is Strange 1 and her picture-taking thing. I guess the best way to describe it is you can't platinum a Life is Strange game simply by playing the episodes. Life is Strange gives you things you need to do to look for secrets to find to platinum the games.
Yep.
So that's, I guess that's probably the best way to put that. So I'm definitely into this. I already like, based on the trailer that we got, I already like the cast. Sounds like the voice acting is going to be great. Also, new thing for this one. This will be the first Life is Strange game that is fully motion captured. Performance captured. Full performance capture. So we're talking about Last of Us 2 quality performance capture here.
Nice.
I like this a lot. And you know, the Uncharted series and The Last of Us are like huge influencers for other studios in using performance capture. So like it's just funny to think about that. Like how this game wouldn't have this thing, possibly, if it hadn't been for those games. Not a dog. Innovating. All right. Yep. Anyway, Life is Strange. I love the series. I'm interested in the cast. Apparently, there will be some crossover. Some characters from Life is Strange Before the Storm are appearing in this game as well. So that's cool. And apparently, they are romance options. And the fact that there are options, you know, for romance is also cool because that is a level of choice that Life is Strange previously did not hit. Like, Life is Strange, of course, is a game that's filled with choices. It's all about choices. But they actually never let you choose any romance options in any previous Life is Strange game.
Sure.
So that's new.
Yeah.
And apparently, it is not going to be episodic. The whole game, unlike all previous Life is Strange games, the whole game is coming out all at once in September.
They seemed really excited to announce that.
It did seem like that, didn't it?
Like, it's like, yeah, we know you hate waiting for episodes, so we're just giving you the whole game.
Yep, here's the whole game. I mean, look at what they did with Tell Me Why. Tell Me Why released an episode per week for 3 weeks, and then they were done. So yeah, whole game coming out in September. Now, when you talk about Life is Strange, you always want to know what the power is going to be, because Life is Strange, the whole thing about Life is Strange is putting people in strange situations, but also applying a twist of the supernatural to that. So every Life is Strange game comes with a character that has some kind of power. This time, the main character, Alex, is able to... basically has an unparalleled empathetic power. She can see people's feelings. And if their feelings are strong enough and big enough, they will infect her and make her feel that way, that she might lose control. She acts like kind of a mirror of their feelings. Yeah. So that could lead to some interesting situations. The game claims you have a lot of control over that power as you explore the town of Haven Springs, which is the new town in the game. But the question kind of is, what happens if you are just exploring and you find someone that is feeling some kind of big emotion? Like, how does that affect the story when you lose that control over your emotions? Yeah. I'm actually really curious about how this is going to work.
Yeah.
But I like it. Yeah. I like the idea. I like it a lot.
Very cool.
Let's see. There is more. Oh, don't worry.
Yeah.
Main character's name is Alex. Yeah, she's Asian American too, by the way, which made a lot of people happy too. Oh yeah. So, something that creeped me out at first. Life is Strange: True Colors is being developed by Deck Nine Games, and that scared me at first because I was like, wait, but Life is Strange is made by Don't Nod Games. Based on the fact that they got characters from the previous Life is Strange games in this one as well. And based on the listening to the trailer and hearing how it sounded and everything like that, I have a feeling that Deck Nine and Don't Nod are probably the same same people, yeah, technically. Probably the same development people under a different mantle for Life is Strange. I don't know if I'm right about that or not, but it seems like there's a lot of collaboration and trust with the series. And apparently this Life is Strange game has been in development since 2017,
yep,
which for a game that was typically, you know, previous Life is Strange were episodic, so development time was, you know, typically shorter, I guess. That sounds like, it sounds like a lot, you know? It sounds like this is going to be actually a pretty big game. I'm down. They did say, though, even though it's not episodic, they did say there were going to be chapter breaks in case you wanted to kind of maintain the episodic feel of it. There'll be points where you can stop.
They kind of hinted that you might want to stop just at an emotional level, too. Just like, you might want to take a break.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's very Life is Strange too. Like they tend to pull the heartstrings. They tend to go for the big emotions, mm-hmm, in Life is Strange. No spoilers or anything, but yeah, it's definitely a series that, that deserves thought, yeah, once you complete it. So the next announcement, still Life is Strange related, still part of the same segment. I love this, by the way. And I think I've stressed enough that I love the series, but here we go. Life is Strange 1 and Life is Strange Before the Storm are returning in a remastered collection. Oh, yes. I love it. And it comes with the Life is Strange True Colors Ultimate Edition.
Very cool.
I am a fan. I'm getting the Ultimate Edition. Like, I think, because Misty's the kind of person that, if she gets a chance to play a game, the original version of a game, and then play a game with like the same game with upgraded graphics, she likes to do that because she likes to appreciate the original. And now she's already seen the full Life is Strange 1 experience originally, and almost all of Before the Storm. Now she's going to be able to see them again in their remastered glory and appreciate that now too. So she's already in. Like, she's already said she'll play them. So I'm definitely getting the Ultimate Edition. But if you don't want to do that, you can apparently later in the year get the Life is Strange and Before the Storm collection on its own, standalone, if you don't want True Colors for some reason.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
You should just get True Colors Ultimate Edition. Yeah. Just do that, man. Just do it. Very happy. Life is Strange is so cool. So that was all for Life is Strange. But like I said, that wasn't the last thing. The last thing in this conference was an update from Luminous Productions, which at first I thought was going to be a Final Fantasy 16 update, because aren't they the same team? I thought they were, but maybe I'm wrong.
Think so?
I could be wrong, but I don't know. There is a game called, I think it's called Ophia, but I'm not 100% sure on the title.
Ophia, something like that.
Ophia, something like that. And we don't know. I feel like we don't know much about the game. At least
it was like a working title thing. That's why it was so.
Yeah, it was like Project Ophia or Ophia or something. And I don't know much about it, but here's what we know now. It is another game where performance capture was used, which I will always approve of, because performance capture, I think, is the best way to do it now. Not just because of Last of Us 2, I just think like it makes sense. Performance capture just as a technology just makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you get real performances from actors, and you know, much more real than just sitting in a booth and yelling a lot. So anyway, it's another performance capture game, but it's definitely more fantasy based. You know, it is like for, the thing I wrote down is it's fantasy based. How do I know there are dragons?
Yes, there are dragons.
So, there are dragons. So, performance capture game. So, voice acting is good so far from what we've heard, the little tiny bit that we heard in that trailer. And there are dragons.
Yep.
Sounds cool. And that is all for the Square Enix presentation. Oh, yes, indeed. But don't you worry. It's not all the gaming news. Oh, no. Gaming news goes on. It lives on forever.
Never ends.
All right. So, the next thing for gaming news is PlayStation has decided to drop a bombshell of information. They have revealed details on the PlayStation VR 2 controller, which is going to be a true VR controller. So I saw someone tweeting about this because apparently people kind of like downplayed this and like poo-pooed this whole article, saying, but the PlayStation Move, though.
Terrible.
So, and I agree with the response tweet to this. It's like, just so you guys know, the PlayStation Move is not a VR controller, and the PlayStation camera is not a VR camera.
It was never meant to be.
Yeah, PlayStation Move controllers were literally only made as a response to the Wii. That's why they were made. Yes, they were co-opted for PlayStation VR when it came out.
Because it was just like, we have this thing.
They're not true VR controllers.
Let's use this existing thing.
Right, right. It would save some people who already had Move controllers some money. You know, so it made sense. But at the same time, they weren't true VR controllers. They never were. This, though, is going to be a true VR controller. And I'm totally down for it myself, but I definitely do have some concerns. So there's things to consider here. The first thing is it's orb-shaped, apparently. So figure that one out. It's
doesn't
orb-shaped.
Seem like it would be the most comfortable, but...
Right, but here's what... It's not even just the orb shape that I'm kind of worried about. Here's what gets to me. So one of the big features of the controller, which is a cool feature on its own, but I don't know if it's going to work for some people. That's why I'm concerned. Is it's going to have like gesture/finger detection, so you can move your fingers over the controller into a shape, and it's going to know where your fingers are. So developers could use that to make you do certain gestures to proceed or whatever while you're holding the controller. Yeah.
That seems like a
problem. Yeah. Yeah. There are people, motor impaired folks, that can't move their hands like that. You can't do hand gestures like that. I would worry, first of all, about them even holding the controller.
Yeah.
It being orb shaped.
Like very ergonomically. I don't know. That's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem weird. Now, they are incorporating as well some DualSense features, because of course they are. And I do agree with this in terms of immersion and stuff like that. They are incorporating the trigger resistance features and the haptic feedback of the DualSense optimized for the shape of this controller. So that makes sense. And that stuff, we already know that stuff can be turned off. So if you don't want that, you can turn that off. But I do worry about VR games and motor impaired folks who can't move their hands in the specific ways that developers are going to ask them to do it. And I hope that developers take that into account and allow for different alternate methods of input there. Even if it's just, I don't know, I'd probably just button routing would be the best way to do it. So here's apparently how it's going to work. The left controller is going to have the square and triangle buttons on it, along with the thumbstick, trigger, and a grip button for gripping objects in the VR world. The right controller is going to have the X and circle buttons and the same thing, trigger, thumbstick, and grip button. That's how that's going to work. I don't know. I really want to try it. I just want to make my... I'm the kind of person that I'm interested in the tech. You know, I do want to try it because I want to see how the tech works, and I want to see if it's as good as it should be, you know, for VR. But at the same time, I do have those concerns. I want to make them clear, but I definitely will cover it if I can when it comes out. I imagine I shouldn't have too much trouble doing that, given my history with PlayStation stuff. I think I'll be all right. So that's that. I think it's cool, but also I'll
be
worried about it. But we don't have a release date for that or anything. We don't know when PSVR 2 is coming out. That's just a detailed drop that they did today.
Next year.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not. All right. The next thing is just pure awesomeness. Like, there's nothing bad about this next thing at all. Pure awesomeness. PlayStation's Play at Home initiative, which is the initiative that allows you to get games for free with no barriers, contracts, no PlayStation Plus subscription, nothing, is expanding again. This time, hugely, by adding, get this, 10 games that you get for free.
That's through crazy. June.
Month over month, there'll be new games each month that you can get for free through the Play at Home initiative. No PlayStation Plus required. These are actually free games that are yours to keep once you download them, no matter what. And these are in some cases, they're very well-known games, like well-known indie games like Abzu. Very well-known. But the headliner, folks, is going to be free in April. The headliner, they're giving away Horizon Whoa. Zero Dawn, the original Guerrilla Games RPG, and the, you know, with the sequel Forbidden West due out sometime this year.
That's actually really Zero smart. Dawn. Yeah.
Like, it's super smart. It's smart in the exact same way that giving away Ratchet and Clank this month is smart.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely free. Play at Home initiative. Thanks to COVID. Thanks, well. COVID. Oh, wait. Oh, wait, you're terrible. Yeah. You've killed a lot of people. You know.
But yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Sony, I guess.
That's a little better.
We'll go with that. Oh, man. To be 100% clear, I meant that as a joke. There's nothing more to that than humor intent. I fully realize how terrible COVID is. All right, so next thing. So Play at Home, awesome. Look forward to some free games. They're yours. And to be just as a reminder, right now you can, if you don't have it, you can go download Ratchet and Clank, the PS4 version of Ratchet and Clank, for nothing right now through March 31st. So if you don't have it yet, go get it.
Exactly.
Why not? It's free. So what the heck? All right. Next up, per the agreement, which we talked about last week, the whole Bethesda acquisition from Microsoft, many Xbox or not many Bethesda titles are now on Game Pass. These include Skyrim, because of course, you know, of course, but they also include Dishonored 2, I believe, specifically Dishonored 2. Probably the original Dishonored as well, but I didn't look at the entire list. I looked at the featured ones. They include Fallout 76, which, I mean, I guess only deserves to be free. But they do include Fallout 4, which is the most recent Fallout game that isn't 76.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big deal. You know, I think that's cool. Also, they include the recent Wolfenstein games, which I really liked. And on top of that, here's one that really that kind of surprised me, but I really like it nonetheless. They actually include all of the original Doom games.
Nice.
Doom 1, Doom 2, and even Doom 64 are now free on Game Pass. And that includes for PC, by the way. So if you want, like, if you want to do some good old IDDQD and ID clip nonsense, you can do that now on Game Pass. I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot. So a lot of those things coming, but Xbox isn't done. And I have to admit, goodness gracious, I've said this before. I know I've said this before. We've talked about this before on multiple occasions. But it is hard to deny the awesome power of Game Pass. It really is. Xbox has announced some more stuff. They have announced that more, even non-Xbox exclusives, are coming to Game Pass on day one for no additional charge. And the headliner among those is a game we just talked about. Ladies and gentlemen, Outriders.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is not Xbox exclusive, not made by an Xbox first or second party studio. No. It's not exclusive at all, but it's coming to Game Pass on day one.
That's crazy.
For no additional charge. How do they do these deals?
Sony's got to be pissed, about that.
Yeah, I imagine so. I imagine so, because even I can't really deny it. I love Sony, yeah. But dude, it's hard to justify getting Outriders on anything but Xbox now.
Why wouldn't you?
Because here's the thing. Yes, we know full and well that Game Pass does not keep games on the service forever. But here's the thing. Number one, Game Pass will keep it there for 3 to 4 months, probably. Number two, while it's on Game Pass, it's also discounted. So if you have Game Pass, you can buy it cheaper than you can buy it on other platforms. So why wouldn't you? It's hard to say no to deals like that, I guess. And that's exactly what Missy's going to do. I even said, that's what you should do. I can't not suggest that. But there it is. And apparently there's more to come. Xbox is not stopping with this whole Game Pass craziness. They're just making deals left and right. So
even stuff next. I heard yesterday, it's Game Pass is getting Octopath.
Octopath Traveler. Yeah, that's true.
Was console exclusive to Switch for a long time.
A year, I think.
More than that, as far as console, it still is. Because it's the only console. It's on PC and Stadia and stuff, but it's Switch is the only console that Octopath has ever been on.
Yeah, okay. I missed that part. I forgot that it was only Switch and PC.
So that's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Man, Game Pass. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it right now. All right. All right. And guess what? I'm finally done
with gaming news.
The first segment is finally over. Unless you have a tangent that you'd like to go on for another hour. Okay. That's a rare thing. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, then, in that case, let's move right on to Exclusive. And welcome to Accessibility News. First up, Accessibility News today. This first Accessibility News segment. Mars Vision, we need to talk.
Yep.
And we do need to talk.
Yeah.
Because, this is going to be, I will attempt to be as fair as possible here. But we do need to talk about this. So Mars Vision is available to test publicly now. You can actually, they kind of just abandoned the whole email thing, it seems like. Because you can just go to their Reddit and just get it now. Yep. And test it for yourself. I actually haven't done this yet. I haven't had time. I hate to say it because I wanted to come at this from having used it perspective, but I can't because I just haven't had time to do it. Nevertheless, I've seen a lot of the response to it.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
it doesn't do. It is
not the thing that it says that it is, and that's why we need to talk about it. Because this is kind of a problem.
It doesn't even do. Just might be jumping the gun a little bit, but it doesn't even do pretty much anything that it is claiming to do. Like the stuff that it's advertising, I tested it with a few things and I can't get anything out of it. I can kind of grabs mouse input, sort of.
Oh boy.
But I don't know, it's just clunky and weird and it's just not good.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be. So essentially, Mars Vision claimed, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and we kind of saw the writing on the wall last week, I feel. We talked about how the big lofty claims. This thing claims that you're going to be able to play GTA 5. You're going to play WoW, Sterlock. You're going to play, you know, all these games. They said access to hundreds of universes is now available to the blind.
Yeah, no.
No.
Not even one that I found.
Here. Not even one. Give us one universe, Mars Vision. Just give us one universe.
Arnx, I feel like, had a little bit better luck, but even then, it was just like kind of eh.
It was still a hampered experience. Like, he only got so far with each thing he tried.
Yeah. So.
So here's what Mars Vision is essentially now that we have it in our hands. And again, I haven't been able to test it yet, unfortunately, but now that it's here and other people have tested it, based on what I've seen as far as responses go, Mars Vision is what I am tentatively referring to as advanced OCR. Essentially, that's but all it's it is.
Not there. Even that.
It's not even that?
It's really? Not even that. No, I could. The only thing that I could get it to do any sort of reading on, at least in the automatic sense, was Space Channel 5 Part 2.
I love that game.
That was it. That was a great game. But it doesn't even do that. Well, apparently Liam had some okay luck like setting it to his capture card.
I could see that.
But it doesn't even, I don't know.
Yeah, So the reason I said it was advanced OCR is because essentially what it is OCR, which is at its core it's OCR. That's what it's doing to the screen. But the reason I call it advanced OCR is because it is apparently supposedly capable of determining mouse focus points, allowing you therefore to flick between areas that you could theoretically click on and click on them with a key press. So you can use your keyboard to navigate with the mouse in games and click on things in games.
That's the part for me that like sort of worked.
Okay.
Like,
what did you try it with, out of curiosity? What did you go with?
I tried it with the one game that I had that pretty much exclusively used the mouse. I didn't feel like grabbing other things at the moment. I'll probably grab other things.
I intended to throw some things at it.
There's a game called Mighty Party that my girlfriend likes, and I was disappointed
that was it just nothing or just
the mouse? So yeah, it doesn't read anything, but using the shortcuts, I can tell that things are being clicked.
Okay.
Because you get a little sound when you click a thing in the game. Not on the Mars.
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
But in the game. So I could tell like things were being clicked on. I just wasn't getting any sort of speech just feedback of what I was moving to. Like literally zero.
Wow. Mars Vision. Hundreds of universes.
Yep. Hundreds.
So, yeah. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is this is a call to not believe the hype, guys.
Yeah.
If you want to, test it for yourself. I still am going to. I need to see it. You know, I just need to experience it. Even if it's nothing, I just need to try it.
And to be fair, this was only like the first public release.
Yeah, the first alpha release. It is still an alpha technically. But that doesn't really change the fact that even if what Mars Vision is right now starts working well, it's still not enough for hundreds of universes. It's going to if it ends up working well, it's going to be good for very specific games.
Yep.
But it will never be good enough to say play GTA 5. Or play WoW. because yeah. that's not what it is. It's only OCR. There's no audio cues. It doesn't like use AI to determine where things are and give you audio cues for a thing. And it's not that at all.
Nope. No, it will never be.
It'll never be that. That's not what they're trying for, really.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, and it might eventually be good for some games. I would like to think that it will. Like this being an alpha, maybe some games that are very, very input based, very menu based, it'll be good for.
Yeah. Like Ian Hamilton mentioned, like the Football Manager.
Yeah, I want to try. I could grab that real quick. I want to try. That's on Game Pass, so I might grab Football Manager and try that just to try it and see what it does. So yeah, that's the story with Mars Vision. Feel free to test it on your own. You can test it on it's free. It's on the Reddit. You can look for Mars Vision, and you'll probably find it. And if you find something that it works well with, let us know. In fact, let us know if you find something that it actually works well with, because so far nobody else has.
Nope.
So don't believe the hype. All right.
No.
All right. Next up. No, that's all I had. Yeah, that's right. I thought there was something else for some reason. I don't know. Maybe because I was considering. Oh yes, that's right. Because I thought of something after I wrote the outline. In fact, right when I was calling you, I thought of something. I actually wanted to reassure people about something, and that is that Serenia, that RPG that is accessible with VoiceOver. Oh.
Yeah.
I want to reassure you that it is not broken. That I was wrong. My save was never broken. It's one silly little thing you have to do that the hints don't tell you have to do. Even if you ask for hints help in the game, there's a hint system, and it doesn't tell you about this. Apparently, this is now going to be fixed thanks to my problem. Doesn't tell you this, and as soon as I finally found out, I was actually helped by Soren, who has played I think beta tested the game and stuff. So he helped me out and he figured out what I needed to do and I did it and now it's fine. So,
yay.
So save was never broken. I was just wrong. So there you go. It's not a broken game. Check it out if you haven't played it before. It is a good RPG.
It's a good game.
It is a little short. Once you really get into the meat of it, it's shorter than you might think because it feels like it's going to be when it first starts out. It's very good at projecting, like, the idea that you're in a vast world, which is really cool.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be really long.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be really long, but it's not. It's not.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But, yeah, you know, it's good. Check it out. Serenia, what is it called now? Serenia something, subtitled.
Path of the Scion.
That's right. Serenia, Path of the Scion. Check it out. For iOS, it is good. It's fully accessible VoiceOver, and it's not broken, and yes, stuff.
Yep.
Also, I guess I could kind of sort of shout out the thing that happened to me.
this was new.
So I did a so this actually happened about a week ago, and I kind of just held off on talking about it because I wanted to be respectful of the wishes of the person that I was talking to.
Yeah.
But I literally today I was like, I'm just going to ask their permission. So I did. And they were actually really, really excited about it and said, yes, absolutely. So I was like, okay, here we go. So this morning I posted a tweet that said something like, this isn't word for word because I'm not reading it word for word, but it said something like the following. It said, you know, I'm going to tell you something, guys. I want to tell you something that I learned recently. You know you've made it when you are contacted by NASA. Yes, that NASA.
Yep.
Yes, I have actually been contacted by NASA. NASA.
Heck yeah. That's
what
cool.
What the heck, dude? So essentially, like, NASA, the organization that is NASA.
Yep.
They want to make their presentations that they deliver to, you know, in multiple kind of mediums, more accessible, and they've asked for my help in doing that. And what a freaking honor that is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. and I followed up this announcement by tagging the verified account on Twitter, the account that's responsible for verifying people. And I said, hey, I'm just curious about, I'm asking politely here, verified, anything else that I might need to do to get considered, because NASA,
yep,
NASA contacted NASA. Me on top of everything else that I've already told you.
Yep.
So, and I ended it by saying, I'll wait. So,
I'll wait.
Come on.
Yeah. Serious.
I mean, I'm like, it's been like a week. Like I said, this happened like a week ago. I'm still super excited about this.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's cool. It's cool. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about it. Like, it's just so cool. I never expected it, because I only ever really thought about working in the game industry. Like, even when I started on this path, I thought about accessibility in the game industry. Yeah. I've since realized that I can provide the same kinds of information to other places, but I never really thought about it, and I certainly did not think about NASA.
Yeah.
But dang.
Dang.
So yeah, that's my life. A little bit of it, a little tiny chunk of it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be me right now. Okay. I think that is all that I have. Yeah, I think so. I think the Mars Vision thing was really kind of the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Had to be talked about. We said we'd cover it, and I might even talk about it one more time, because I want to have my own experience with it and try it for myself. Yeah. And I probably will still talk about that.
Yeah.
And that'll be it, unless they improve it in such a massive way that I can't not talk about it. I'll probably
leave it at that.
Yeah, I think that's it. So mostly this has been a gaming news show, but that's cool. That's cool. It's definitely been, thanks to the Square presentation, it's been a decent length show. So
this would have been this may have even been almost a skip week if it hadn't been for the Square Enix.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah. That was kind of the biggest thing. That was definitely the biggest thing. It would have been, I think if that hadn't happened, this show would have been shorter than last week's. Last week was pretty short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last week's was really short. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to do us a little outro thing, my Bob, and we're going to get out of here. This has been episode Fallout 77?
The sequel to Fallout 76.
Yes, it doesn't work, does it? No. Oh, the Breakdown Walls podcast. As always, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Square Enix presentation basically was the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's all good. It's fine. It was a good show, mostly. I'm definitely looking forward to some Life is Strange awesomeness. I'm looking to see what this Project Aphia game is. With dragons and performance capture. It sounds cool. And Mars Vision isn't that great.
Nope.
That's our show. So, as always, we enjoy doing the show every week. It's a highlight of the week for us. Even though the day we do it has changed for reasons, it's still a big, important part of our week. And so we value any comments and suggestions for what you'd like to talk about, anything you'd like to throw our way, we will happily take it. And like I said, I'm actually serious about if you have played with Mars Vision and had a good experience with any game, let us know.
Yep.
We'll talk about that too. What the heck? Yeah, that is that. We will see you next week. Hopefully I'll have more progress on our guest. Maybe we'll have the guest on. I don't know. I can't make any promises, because it's just so hard to schedule this person.
Yeah.
It just is. But I'm doing my best, and it's they've already said yes. It's going to happen. It's taking some time. So I apologize for that, but we'll make it work somehow.
Yep.
And that's it. I am Brandon Cole. He is Sturlock. And we will see you guys next week on Breakdown Walls. Bye.